Okay, everybody, so today's daf is Kufta Zayin. We're holding six lines from the top of the Amud when the Gemara begins. Tanya Kavasi Rav Yehuda. We're going to bring a raya to Rav Yehuda. Who's Rav Yehuda? We had yesterday machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda as to what happened. What happens if someone takes a mashkin of a rechaim v'rochev? What's a rechaim v'rochev? That's a mill that has an upper stone and a lower stone. The Torah says, if you have a malve who wishes to take a mashkin from the loyve, lo yach boil rechaim v'rochev. Don't take those things which are so essential for the preparation of food, like the two millstones, rechaim v'rochev. Why? Ki nefesh u'choyvel. He's not just going and taking away objects that are being used to produce food. He's actually taking a mashkin of the nefesh of the person himself. Because if you take away the food preparation apparatus from an individual, he won't be able to eat chas v'sholem. So therefore, you can't take that as a mashkin. Now you remember yesterday we had machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. What happens if someone in fact does take as a mashkin a rechaim v'rochev? Is he over only two isurim or three isurim? Shkoyach, brother Shai. What would be the reason for three? The two is obvious. Even though the two work in tandem, the Torah says nevertheless, both of them are asur, and when you're doing melocha achas, with two instruments working hands in hand, you're over two. We'll see more examples of that in the Gemara momentarily. But the question is, you get even a third malchus, and Rav Huna says, yes. If you go back to Kuf Tes Vov Omid Aleph, right after the Mishnah, Omer Rav Huna on the bottom. Chov rechayim loy kishtay, mishem rechayim or mishem kui nefesh hu choyver. If he takes rechayim v'rechev, both the upper and the lower, millstones loy kisholoish, because of rechayim, rechev and nefesh hu choyver. So nefesh choyver adds on a third layer of isur and of malchus. Rav Yehuda said, no. If you took rechayim v'rechev, you have two. That comes to tell you that if Chas V'Shalom takes something else that you need for the preparation of food, perhaps a pan or a pot or something similar, same halacha would apply that you get malchus. However, you don't add kinefesh u'choyvel to rechaim v'rochev. Those are separate isur. Rechaim v'rochev is separate. Those are two. In addition to that, if you take something else which is essential for food preparation, kinefesh u'choyvel, you get malchus. So now we're going to try to bring a raya to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda that says Rechaim V'rochev is only two and not three. Tani Gemara says Rav Yehuda. The Gemara brings two braises together, and Rashi says the result of the two braises, we have a raya to Rav Yehuda. What's the raya? Dr. Braise, the first braise is Chavol Zug Shel Saporim, the Tzemed Shel Porois. The person took the word Chaval is from the Lashon of Loyachboy, which means to go and take a mashkin. If you take a mashkin of a zug shel saporim, saporim are barbers, zug is a pair of scissors. Now notice we say the word pair of scissors. Why is it a pair of scissors? Because you can take apart a scissors. I'm not suggesting you should, but were you to do so, you'd see it's two separate knives which have been combined together with the form of a screw or something in the middle, and the two knives work in tandem as one scissor. So what happens if a person were to go and take that from a sapper? Sapper obviously is a hairdresser, a barber. If he takes that away from him, he won't be able to go and cut hair, he won't be able to make money, he won't be able to support his family. Same thing if you take a tzemet shel porois. Rashi seems to have two pshatim in tzemet shel porois. That means either to take the pair of oxen that the person uses to go and plow the field, or Rashi says it's referring to the oil. Oil is the yoke that you put on top of two parties to connect the two together. And Rashi says apparently that oil was made out of perukim, out of pieces, like Lego pieces. Therefore, it was made out of multiple pieces. Says the Braisa, Chayiv Shtayim, then you Chayiv two. Meaning for the Zug Shel Saporim, you Chayiv two, even though it's only one pair of scissors. But it's like a pair of scissors. Same thing with Tzemet Shel Porois, you have a pair of animals, or not the animals, but you have the yoke, which is itself in different pieces. Shibichai, Ifshtayim, that's what it says in the price. If you would take apart the scissors and only take one of the two blades, or only part of the yoke, or only one of the animals, you only be chayv once. And I have another brasa. I think you'd only be chayv one on the scissors and one on the oil of the parois. They are two separate pieces. The Rechaim V'Rochev is an upper millstone and a lower millstone. They don't do anything on their own. If you only had one of the two, you can't grind the flour, you can't grind the wheat. The two work together. And you chai for each one. In other words, since the Torah spells it out, if you were to take both a rechaim and a rochev, you're going to be chayv two, even though the rechaim and rochev work together. Locha achas. So Gemara, just like ma rechaim and rochev, shem yuchad shnei kelim, both some locha achas, two separate kelim, but they work together to do one locha. Chayv calls it b'fniyatz, and you chayv two malkisin. Any type of other similar circumstance, such as the zukshel saparim, that what did you need the two to work together in one blade alone? The barber would not be able to use that; he could only work with the scissors. So the shnei kelim yuchadim v'oisim malach achat, they work together as one. Chayv zeh b'fnei atzmoi v'alzeh b'fnei atzmoi. You chayv on each one on its own.
If it's a three-part kli or a four-part kli, would that extend, or is it just because of the binyan av of the Torah that it's limited to two?
It's a good question. The Gemara doesn't address it, but it would seem that since each one of the kelim is a necessary component for the total,
for the
melacha, three or four or whatever. If you have, just because if you had a pair of scissors which was enhanced by perhaps another blade, but if you ask the barber, you don't really need that, it's just, you know,
Mutter,
so perhaps it wouldn't be. It's only if it's essential, the kelim yuchadim melacha achas, as opposed to just accessories and stuff which are just window dressing and not really necessary. Anyway, so that's the Poshup Chat in our Gemara. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim disagree with Rashi, and they say that when we're talking about a Chaim V'Rochev, it's because those are part of the final preparation of the food. I'm sorry?
No, Ochel Nefesh.
Ochel Nefesh. Zukshel Zaporim is not Ochel Nefesh. It's true the person needs it for his salary to go and make money. Without that, he wouldn't be able to go and buy the millstones and or buy the tzvua for purpose of grinding. So the question is, how far back do you go? And do you understand with Rechaim V'Rochev to include not only immediate food preparation, but also the money stream that gets there to be able to buy the food and to be able to produce it and manufacture and cook and bake and all that. So that's a big machlekes. From the Loshna Gemara, it sounds like Zukshel Saparim, that we're talking about the barbers. He's not in the kitchen, he's not cooking anything, he's just trying to bring in money by performing barber services. The same thing, Semishul Paris. The Paris are going in the field. We have another problem over here. Our Gemara says that if a person takes a tzemishul paris, then he's chayiv on liach barachayim barachiv kinefeshu choyvel. Yet, a few blad ago back in the Mishnah, when we spoke about returning an avoid that is necessary because the guy is nebuchan only the evyoin, the examples that the Mishnah gave were a kar and a machresha. Machresha is the plow. How can you take a plow in the first place? If you take away the plow, he won't be able to plow his field. Just like if you take the tzemen shul parois, you won't be able to go and plow the field. And if you take them, you chayv two isur. If you take the other guy's machresha, shouldn't be chayv at least one isur of kinefesh shul choyvel. Yet the Mishnah said, no problem, you can take it. Just make sure to give it back every morning, and then you could take it back in the evening. So the choyvel is a little bit of a disconnect.
Then they said their machresha was a cone.
Okay, so what? I didn't hear that from Mendy, but Mendy was not Mechadish that on his own. It was a Toisus. If you want to go back to Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, 113a, notice the Toisus on the bottom, yes, a Machresha B'yoyim. It says, Toisus Kosher Lebein Etam. You're saying you're allowed to take the Machresha and give it back during the day. and take it back at night. Kosher ben tam, the same besayf pirkin. Our Gemara, chob lezuk shel sapar, betzemen shapar is chay mishem beis kalim. Who pirish v'kuntres, and how did Rashi explain that? Porois ha-chorishois. These are porois that are going and doing the plowing of the field. V'chay v'aleim ha-choyvon, v'ish ois ha-noichel ma'avesh. And came heich, not with some machresha, diktori, you master. It says we return the machresha every time in the morning. How'd you take the machresha in the first place? We said you can't take the shtei porois. You take the shtei porois, the oivet to misurim. Machresha should be oivet as well. Oven because the nefesh u'choyvon. The oid, the ain near the chayim al adaf kedumi the chayim barachav shemesaknin who oichel atzmoi bekli. Says Rabbi Tam, the nefesh u'choyvel is dumya similar to the chayim barachav, which is food preparation. You don't prepare food by poris chorshois in the garden or in the field. So you're gonna say, yeah, but they're the ones that are preparing the food. Would you go and say, if I go and buy the seeds that I need to install in the field, or if I buy water sprinklers that I need, a water can, are those also considered to be nefesh u'chayim? And how far back do you go? When I buy the field, I mean, if I didn't buy the field, then I wouldn't be able to go and land
it. Go to school, you're learning to let it go.
Exactly, go to school, exactly. So the question, how far, Nefor says, Toi b'chim b'fari shu b'ditam, Tzemet poris, hainu poris, hamarach sois b'tvua. The poris that we're talking about here, and Afkufte Zayin, on today's Gemara, are the threshing. Threshing that's really similar to the grinding which is done by the mill, which is already in the preparation of the
Seder Apas.
Seder Apas. Oh, very good. Because Rabbi Tam Nami, Zug Shel Misparayim, not Zug Shel Saporim. What's a Zug Shel Misparayim? Chen Goris Rabbi Chananu, Chen Tespoilis Shel Yerek, Oiligzois Beis Hashchita. You may have in your own kitchen, or your wife, or somebody else who's preparing the food, may have such a scissors that's used to go and cut twice, to cut meat, to cut tomatoes, to go and cut potatoes, to go and cut cucumbers, chicken, whatever. You have these cutters sometimes. Chicken bones. Oh, very good. All these is Beis HaShechita. Those people that were involved in the butcher store or in the Beis HaShechita, Shlachtos, near the Beis HaShechita there's a lot of blood and stuff. So you cut away all the fat and the flesh and the skin around that area,
the hair,
lots of stuff.
The Babich Shechita, they shave the neck of the behema to, there shouldn't be any hafsaka.
Very good.
They shave. I remember we lived in Chulin that they
did. Very good.
Especially by sheep.
Good. So there, and continues on the toises. Kirmin b'chorish dark and hoyin mitzoyis. He used to go cut it. Avol poros hachorishoyis loy mikri klish ois and oichal nefesh. Poros hachorishoyis that it's stam doing the plowing. That is not oichal nefesh. What about our machresh? So our gemara that we just learned now in Daf Kuf Tezayin. According to Rashi, we're talking about the barber's scissors. No. We're talking about the scissors you use to cut chicken and to go and cut vegetables and what have you. What is the tzemet shel poros? We're not talking about tzemet shel poros that are plowing in the field, but rather they're threshing the tvuah, which is already in the Seder Abbas. But what are we going to go and do with the machresha? Machresha is a plow. You don't use a plow to go and thresh. So what is that? We need to be done. Machresha ochalav ayna machresha choshen bo azakarka. Dinir to the mechayi b'hashov v'asu aboy. Ebel kli ho osoy legufa odmu lahano osoy. Only something that is used by the person personally.
Yes.
Do you ever hear of anybody making a silver plow? This is what you quoted me on Nemi's behalf.
He said this
post for us. Is another name for the comb that people use in the Beis Amerchot when they have probably... they have an itch on their back or someone, they probably ask someone, can you do me a favor, can you go and you comb that, because I'll give that itch and that scratch, I can't get there, etc. Anyway, another definition of my fresh. So
why is it that an effort to fold it out? Why can't we learn it means it's slightly, but anything is not necessarily.
You're talking about our Gemara here, you're talking about the Machresha back on Kufi.
I'm talking about our Gemara here.
Our Gemara here is because we're no longer talking about luck. But again, we have Machloikis. How do you define Kinefesh Chayvah? If you define it broadly, anything that helps to go and bring bread on the table.
Why bread?
Okay, I'm sorry. you're a vegan,
salad
on the table.
Gluten free.
If you don't like salad, you go and bring
the protein yogurt on the table.
I would learn it more broadly. It's livelihood. An effort to cobalt, you take away its livelihood.
That's what I meant by saying bring bread on the table. Uh-huh. Anything that brings bread on the table. If you happen to be a barber and he did 10 haircuts that day, right, and each one of the haircuts today here costs $25 or $30, and well, can you imagine? Yeah. And then we used to be 75 cents.
Bread on the table is an idiom for sustenance, Jeff.
Yeah. Beautiful, shkoyach. Thank you for saving the day, Ariel, as always. Yes, so it's idiomatic that when we're talking about bringing bread on the table, we mean anything that gets us there. And that's getting us there means his salary. So it's not just a question if you have a person who is a typist and you take away his typewriter or you take away his computer, he can no longer type. You know, nobody uses typewriters anymore. That's twice. Whatever. Anyway, if you take away all those things that he needs to go and do his work, then that's Chavazuk shows up by him. Same thing. That's how Rashi learned. And that's how other Rishonim learned. If you see Rabbein Tam back in Kofi Gimel, respectfully disagrees.
Only
Oichel Nefesh types of things. So what is this? Is not a sapar, it's misparayim. This is that you go and cut the chicken, or you go and cut off the hair from the base of shechita because of the babich miniget, etc., etc., etc. And the tzemach shel poros over here, again, according to Rashi, it's talking about those poros that are doing the plowing, because that's also leading. It's all eventually you're going to be able to go and get the bread. However, Tosfos and Kofi Gimel said, no, it's got to be in food preparations. It's got to be those poros that are doing the threshing, not those that are doing the plowing. Okay, anyway, continuing on, we're halfway down. Zoki Marahu Gavra. The Chovel Sakina di Ashkavta. He took as a mashkin, the word Layachboy, a Sakina of Ashkavta. What's Ashkavta? Rashi says right before the wide lines down below. She'll base a mitbachayim, she'll mekatfin by basa. This was used by the butchers to go and cut the pieces of meat. So someone went and, apparently that butcher was not doing well. He was a labor, he wasn't able to pay, and the mashkin that was taken was such a sakin that's used by the butchers to go and cut the meat. We're going to see at the very end of today's omud that there's another pshat in the Forshim that is referring to a chalif. Chalif is used for shechita to shecht an animal. Okay, anyway, but bottom line is the same.
Kupitz
is an axe.
A kupitz is a butcher's cleaver that he uses to go and cut the bones and make no bones about it. Those are very, very dangerous. Stay away from them. Anyway, so someone took that as a mashkin. It's Kindash Kafta. Mechavre, from his chavre. Usla kam yabaye. So this shayla now came in from the abaye. Was this right? Was this wrong? What do you do? Omale, zilahadre. Give it back to him immediately because you've been over an iser. How can the butcher possibly go and sell the meat? He has this big, big cow. Nobody's going to go and buy a cow. And therefore, he's got to go and buy a smaller rib steak or buy a flanken or buy whatever you cut meat into. So you need to have that katsa. You need to have that sakin dash katsa. You took it away from me, you won't be able to make panasa. As well as it's taka oichal nefesh base. It's not just like the barber. This is used for food preparation. Without such a cutter, then you wouldn't be able to keep going, put a cow into a little pot and start cooking. So he says, first of all, give it back. Number two, mitalka medina halo. And then go and take him into Bezdin and work it out in Bezdin as to what mashkin you can take, what you cannot take, to go and sell his assets, or go and have a regular litigation in front of the Bezdin.
So he took self-help measures, this fellow?
Exactly. Well, Rav Amalei Tzorech will make him a dinar. You do not have to give it back. The Yochalitoin ad kedei domain. Now, Rav is not sanctioning and saying what he did was proper. But what Rav is saying is, once he's holding on to that meat cleaver or meat cutter or whatever it is, he could theoretically hold on to it and say, what do you mean? I bought it from the butcher. After all, I need such a big butcher's cleaver in my kitchen as well to go and cut up all the meat, and I bought it from him. The best raya is, look, I have it. And possession is 9/10 of the law. And since I'm the muchzik, if he says it belongs to him, let him go and prove it. And therefore, you'll be able to win the case with a migui. What's the migui? The migui that he can go and say that I actually bought it from the guy. Okay, so I didn't buy it from the guy. I took it as a mashkin from the person. But I can go and take the mashkin to the extent of the amount of the loan. If the loan was a $10 loan, and this meat cutter is worth $20, so I'll be able to go and I have a migre, I could say the whole thing belongs to me, the whole value of the 20. Instead, I'm saying it's only 10. I'm saying that this is a mashkin for a loan, so therefore we'll sell it, I'll get 10 for myself, and give back 10 to the merchant. So the rabbi has a good tesvara, he has this migre that he could have said that he bought it. Rabbi, less than he tesvara, doesn't he agree with that tesvara? Maisha, yeah.
What do you mean? He could have said that he bought it, kind of sanctioning lying. No,
that's why I said at the outset, Rav is not sanctioning what he did. What he's now saying is, bottom line, where we're standing is, we have one person that's holding on to the meat cutter. We have the other person screaming, "Hey, that's mine! Give it back!" So, what happens under those circumstances? It's standard rule. You have a muchzik and you have a motzi. The muchzik is the one that's holding it. The moitz is moitz chayer al avarai. If he wants to prove that it belongs to him, let him show that he has witnesses, edim, that this was taken by the muchzik, that was his all along. He did not go and sell it, and he has to go and return it. And the other svar would be to go and say that the person who's holding on to the cutter should go and bring edim that he went and bought it. However, under normal rules of jurisdiction, jurisprudence, when you have one person a muhsik and the other is the moitzi, ha moitzi mechmeri, all of harai, the burden of proof falls on the individual who wants to get it back. If he wants to get it back, let's look at the Rashi. Rashi is the second wide line down below. Rav Amar, kimin the mashkine, since he took the mashkin, vein edim shemishkinai, and there are no edim that were present when he took it, he could theoretically have said, "Bekuchi biyadi," that I bought it. And therefore, leitzarich lemeik medina elave, you don't have to go into court for all of this. The konalei mashkin li shava velito ad kedei damar. He can go and say, "Here's the mashkin, and I swear that took this as a mashkin. And what is the value of the mashkin? The value of the mashkin is $20. The choiv was $10. I only want to extract $10 from this mashkin, and the rest I give back to the original owner, to the butcher." Yes, sir.
It says Lishava Velito.
He shouldn't have to. The other guy should go.
Right. So, who's doing the swearing here? The grabber or the malver or the lova?
Mm-hmm.
If it's the malva, what shvua is he making that he's Lishava Velito?
I think you're right. I think the Konalei Mashkin to the malva, Lishava Velito, if the whoever wants to get it back, he'll have to go make the shvua to be able to go and get back at Kedei Damar. Because since he's the muchzik, theoretically, he could say, "It's mine." He doesn't have to return it at all. Anyway, so getting back to our Gemara. So Rava said that since he's the one holding on to it, he's the muchzik, he could win the din Torah without going to din Torah, just simply saying, "It's mine." If he has a migui to say, instead that it's mine, he can say that it's a mashkin, and I own at Kedei Damar. Let's say High Sword doesn't buy it. Agree with that. Maishna, don't you remember the famous story? May I know Easy. Easy, of course, are goats. The Achli Chushim and Adar. They ate up all the Chushla. What is Chushla? Says Rashi. So Oirin Klufim. This was shelled barley. Apparently, this is the type of thing that Easim like to eat, and they eat it very easily, and that's why they are easy. Anyway, so they're on Easy Street eating up the Chushla. And Asamar the Chushla, and the owner of the Chushla, of course, who was very irritated and frustrated by the fact that the Ezim ate up his Chushla, what did he do? That Tavis Lahu. And he chapped the Ezim, the Katoim too, and he said, "They owe me $100 for all of the Chushla that was eaten up." So what happens now? The Amr Avudishmul was around, and he passed it. Yochel Ditanat Kadei Domain. He can go and be toying that this belongs to him until the full value, because of the fact that he has a migui that he could have said that I bought these izim from the other individual. So I didn't buy them, I only chapped them as a mashkin to go and get paid. So he has that migui that Rava just said. So doesn't Abaye agree with that svara? After all, it's not just Rava's svara, this is really Avud Shmuel's svara. Every Yomar and Nishkarai, also Lami the Avda, the Ushule Ugurehu. When do you say that you have such a migoy that I could have said that I bought it? That's dafka those types of things like izim that people don't typically lend or typically rent. People do go and borrow, for instance, parais to be choyrish in a field. But what value do you have with Ezim? Ezim don't do any
milk.
No, or fertilizer.
Okay, well, fertilizer, I don't know whether...
If they fertilize your field, they feed them...
Yeah, they give milk.
Wait, everything that you say is correct. Our Gemara is saying, nevertheless, they are within the category of lav midah of the ushule ugure. Apparently, there was a big business of Hertz rent-a-cars, Hertz rent-a-wagons, Hertz rent-a-parais, but apparently there was no Hertz rent-a-goat. Apparently, this was not enough of a business that people would engage in borrowing or in renting. And therefore, if a person had Ezim and he says, I bought it, 99% of the time he bought it, he didn't go and borrow it, he didn't go and rent it, it's his. And therefore, he has the Migui. He could have said, I bought it, but I'm going to be an honest guy. I didn't buy it. I took it as a mashkin. He wants to go and get paid to the extent of the chushla. In the case, however, of a knife is something that people borrow, and perhaps if you have a large party, maybe even rent it for the day or two or whatever. And so therefore, if you go and say that it's kuchi biyadi, no. Well, why should you say for kuchi biyadi? It's very possible it belongs to the butcher, and the butcher lends it to you. This is the type of item that people lend and borrow and rent. Now, how do I know that there is this distinction? Those types of things that people typically lend or they typically rent, what's the din? If you say afterwards, this car, I didn't go and rent it for Hertz Rent-A-Car. I bought it from Hertz Rent-A-Car. Come on, do me a favor. When you go to Hertz Rent-A-Car, you rent cars, you don't go and buy the car. And therefore, of course, it could be if it's an old car, second hand.
The old cars.
It's all bad under normal circumstances. Anyway, so same thing over here. If a person says about this knife that Kuchi Biyadi says Abaya, no migui to go and say that Kuchi Biyadi because it's also Lahash Lahaski. Great Timar Varoba, let's say I swear. Abaya is right. This is the halacha of Rav Huda Bar Abba. Doesn't Rava agree with this? I'll show you Rava agrees with this. Well, Rava, Apik, Zuga, the Sarbla, the Safa, the Agarata, Miyasmi, Bidvar Marsil, the Hashul, the Haskin. There was a gentleman who went and borrowed a Zuga, the Sarbla. A Zuga, the Sarbla, again, is scissors. He was talking about a lot of scissors today because today the Gemara is at the cutting edge of the law. Anyway, so he has a Misparayim, a scissors, Shagoyz, the Mensemer, which you go and cut away to use for shearing the sheep of their wool. That's a Zuga Sarbla. Sarbla de Agadata means interesting books of Agoda. So one person borrowed these items from someone else, and Leilech V'Leilech, he never passed away. And now you have Yisoyim. So Yisoyim, they are in possession of the Zuga Sarbla, Sarbla de Agadata. They say, we don't really know anything, we just know that it's here, we assume it belongs to us. Somebody else comes along on the scene and says, not true. I lent it to their father. So, what did Rava do? Rava believed that lender who lent the Sugar Sarva the Sarva. So, it's Dvar Masim Hashal Aska. These are the normal types of things that people go and borrow wool shearers, and Safdei Agadata, people lend them from one to the other. Therefore, even though the Yisoyim are, in a sense, being Toim, the Kuchi Biyadi, they don't really know, but they are in possession of it by the fact that... Exactly. So I would have thought that they should be the right guys and the other one. This says, since Rava favored the other party. So you see that Rava distinguishes between Dvar Masa and Hashul Haskir and Dvar Mshayna and Hashul Haskir. So doesn't he agree that a knife is a type of thing which is also Hashul Haskir? So why did Rava say, I would believe him, he could have said, L'kucha hi bi yadi... No. Not knives are the type of things that the blade can get pogum, in other words, get some sort of a nick on it. And that's why some of the mafoshim, as we said earlier, say we're not talking about just a butcher's knife, we're really talking about a chalif for shechita. Because as you know, if the shechting sakin has any type of nick, it's possible, and the animal will become an nevela. So that's why the shechtim are very, very careful about
it. It's like a surgeon's scalpel. You don't hand it out.
Hagrama? What is the...
Hagam. Chalada? Chalada? Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get to it in a minute, Jim. We'll get to Chum. But bottom line, there were five takis, so five takis.
Grama, Halada, Shagia.
Very well. Hadal lecha mekabel, lecha mekabel. On to the new and the final perek of Bava Metzia, perek Habayis Valia.
Yiddish is a messer?
A knife in Yiddish is a messer. That's correct. It's in German. Chalif messer. Very good.
That's the knife.
Okay. On to the new Mishnah. Habayis Valia Shoshnai. Even though normally we translate the word Aliyah to mean the attic, in Gemara Lashon, typically Aliyah just means the second floor. So a person, there were people lived on the first floor and people lived on the second floor. And now you have a house which belongs to two people, like today's condos or co-ops. One person owns the bottom, the second person owns the second floor. How would that come to be? Says Rashi, k'nonshtayachem shechoku. You have two brothers, they probably both Yarshin did from their father, he had a two-story building. One of them got the bottom, the other one got the top. Okay. Anyway, what happens now? Shinoflu, never the bayis valiyah, the whole building fell down. What's left from the entire building, besides hopefully substantial insurance proceeds, but in terms of the physicality of the building, all you got is the bricks, and you got some stones, and you got some
beams,
or whatever left over from this building. So what happens? Cholkin, they go and split it. Rashi adds, it's not necessarily that they split it down the middle, you also have to go and see Hakalafiha Goiva, you see Rashi, the fourth line. Because you could theoretically have that the lower apartment on the first floor.
It's worth more.
Sorry?
It's worth more.
Or it could be, you're talking about value. Here we're talking about the physical Ofer Eitzim Avonim, and that is that, let's say the first floor had an 8-foot ceiling, and the second floor only had a 7-foot ceiling or 6-foot ceiling. Okay, so obviously there are more eights and bottom down below than there are up above.
It says to support the second story, so.
But besides the support, the fact that it happens to be just taller.
Right, it defines the space. You literally own the walls. When you say real estate, I own the walls. Mm-hmm. In this case, they literally own the walls and all the substance.
Absolutely correct. So you could have, if assuming that every layer of bricks, of course, just make it easy, was 1 foot, and now you have 10-foot ceilings down below in the first floor, then you'd have 10 layers of stones, each one being 1 foot each, 10 layers of stone. And if it happens to be that the second floor is only 8 feet tall, then you only have 8 layers of stone. So obviously the lower guy is going to get more stones than the upper guy. Okay, that's all pretty straightforward. So then, they're choyle ba'etz of avonim u'laf. But now the Mishnah introduces something new. For royin eilu avonim asuyos lehish daber, we go and try to assess with our own intelligence where the avonim are likely to have come from, which ones are the ones that more likely to have broken, and which ones are those that probably remained intact. How would you be able to tell? Says Rashi, look at the building collapse. Did it go and collapse straight down, or did it collapse at an angle? If it collapsed straight down, that means that the bottom stones probably weakened from the heavy load that they were carrying, and therefore the broken stones are probably the bottom guys, and the others that were higher up, when they fell down, they probably remained intact. As opposed to, if the reason why they found that the building had fallen because of a major hurricane or storm, which pushed it down at an angle, so then those that are closest to the ground probably remained intact. Those that are broken are the ones on the top that hit the ground. Let's say take a quick look at the Rashi. Rashi's about 10 lines in. Royim eilu avonim ru'uyes lehishtaber. Right, everybody has that 10 lines from the top?
Yes.
Emyesh avonim shivurois shel levenim. You have a whole bunch of broken bricks. Zayim shalim. Obviously, everybody wants to have the brick which is still sholei, because they can use that for future construction, for themselves, or they can sell it, or whatever. Royim eilu avonim ru'uyos lehishtaber, which one is more likely to have broken? Im shel elyon shel tachton, the upper or the lower? V'haka lefi hamapoilis. Now look at the mapoilis, look at the collapse. Shim nechbat habayis miyasoidoi, if the reason why the bayis fell was because of its foundation, in other words, fell straight down. V'novel tachton v'choyimah, And when it fell down, the choymah still fell on its place. In other words, it didn't move to the right, to the left, where the choymah was standing previously. Now it's collapsed on its place. Yesh l'das, then you should understand. Sh'atachtoinos, you should understand. Sh'atachtoinos is but the bottom ones are the ones that broke. And that's why the bayis daka fell in. However, the nechbar hakoisel lahalon kimakir. If, however, if you find that the koisel fell at an angle to the floor, as if it was a stick that fell down, sheyoyimid zokuf, that previously the stick was standing nice and upright and erect, and now the stick has fallen to the side. V'nofal sheyoyinishul koisel noflu lahalon mimenu harbe. If that is the case, which ones of the stones fell furthest from the building site? Those are the ones that hit the top stones, because those fell at an angle and they hit the ground. They probably broke, because they fell from the heights. They were all the way up there, 20 feet from the ground, and now they're on the floor, and boom. Because they only fell near to where they were on the bottom, on the floor. So therefore, it's more mastaver than the... So depending on how you find the building collapsed on the ground. If it's on its own site, not to the right, not to the left, the broken ones are probably the bottom ones. And if it fell at an angle, like a stick that falls in the wind, then it's probably the upper ones that broke. So that's what the Mishnah says. So Veroyin, you have to kind of examine and appraise, Eilu avonim v'asuyas leishtav. Finally, says the Mishnah, Moye echan mehen makir miktas avonim. If one of them could say, oh, I know this Evan, because it was right next to my living room, and I can recognize it, and you can see it's a little bit white, green, blue, yellow, whatever.
Painted.
I'm sorry?
It was painted.
It was painted. Oh! Noitlan, he takes those, because he recognizes them. What is the other guy, Taina, will see in the Gemara? Does he agree? Does he disagree? And that will be part of the Cheshbon. In other words, not in addition to all other stones. Let's assume that in terms of the gova, of the height and the width, it was all exactly the same. The upper one and the lower one, both were advertised in the paper as exactly 1,200 square feet, and therefore they would normally go and split it 50-50. If one of them is going to recognize particular stones, then those will be part of his 50%. It won't be in addition to the 50, but it will be part of his 50. What will the other guy get in return?
Offset.
What will he get as an offset? We'll see in the Gemara whether he gets an offset of broken stones or whether he gets full stones like the first guy. We'll see in Mishnah shortly. Anyway, let's start off by the Zokti Gemara. We said in the beginning of the Mishnah, they split it. Split it down the middle, assuming that the square footage is exactly the same. The area is the same. But then the Mishnah says, Veroy, you got to see. Did it fall just straight down, or did it fall on an angle? So Minik Tani Royin, since the middle case is Royin, McLeod, the Ikala make him alive, then it appears that you're able to go and ascertain how the building fell. Iba Chapsa Nofel, Chapsa means that it fell down on its axis, on the building site itself, not to the right, not to the left. Iba Chapsa Nofel, or did it fall as a result of either a wind pushing it, or some other outside force pushing the building.
Force.
A horizontal force, thank you, that pushed the building down, and that's why it's the Elyoinus, like Rashi said, the upper ones that broke, as opposed to the lower ones.
At the World Trade Center,
Nebuch. So, Reiki Hochi, Reisha, Michael.
Upper stones fell, and that collapsed.
That stone. The building was not fall. The beams were melted by the beams of the water.
Exactly. Good.
No. The central ones melted, but then the weight was collapsed on the lower area.
All right. Okay.
Pancakes.
All right. It is what it is. But getting back to our Gemara, the Gemara wants to understand if the middle part of the Mishnah tells us that there is such a concept of royin, you can determine whose stones fell just by the way the building collapsed. See, Yochi Reisha may cholkin. Why in the ratio do we simply say, just do 50-50, you take 50%, you take 50%? Nachse, why don't we say like the safer of the Mishnah, like the middle case? Nachse, let's examine. Iba chavta nofel al yosa itpur. If it would fell like a chavta, chavta means like Rashi said, like the makel, like the stick that fell on the side. If that's the case, the ones that likely broke are the upper stones. Or if it fell directly on its axis, directly on the building site itself, then tasiyase it for, then it's the bottom ones that broke. So, why are you saying chokin? You know, just split it up 50-50. It depends. One should get more shleimos and one should get more shvarim based on, you know, how it fell. So, but at night, and therefore nobody witnessed how it exactly fell directly below or it fell to the side. Okay, mazel tov. When everybody gets up in the morning, they'll pass by. Oh, you look at that, that's terrible. And they'll see, did it fall directly down or did it fall like a makel to the side? Every more dependent, it's talking about that overnight, it was already all cleaned up and you can't tell. Miraculous. Let's find out who the ones that did it. Was it the fire department? Was it the chaverim? Was it the police department? The shomrim? Let's call them and ask them. After a lot of people there in the street, they all said, oh, what an agony, what that, that, that. And they all collected together all the remaining stones and they put them together in one place to allow for the traffic to flow and all that. So since it was Benin Benin Shusram, there's nobody to ask. Basli Alman, they all, you know, traveled away. Let's go and see where they stored all of the stones that were taken away. In other words, they removed it from the spot, they moved it to somebody's property. We're assuming that they moved it to one of the two's property, either the Bayis man or the Aliyah man. Let's see where the property is now. Therefore, they're going to be muchzik, and whoever wants to get it will be the mechvel of aray. When they cleared away the stones, they put it in a joint property, so both of them are muchzakim, and both of them are mitziyim, and nobody has the upper hand against the other. Or inami b'shusarabim, or they put it all aside, you know, like on the sidewalk next to shusarabim, and therefore it's on public property, so there is no muchzik. Or since Nebuch such a terrible building collapse, you know, everybody's in agony, everybody's upset, and all the stones were now all pushed aside onto the property of one of the two. Is he going to be makbid and say, oh, no, Shnella, take away your 50% of the stones? Come on, come on. Both of them are Nebuch in grief about what happened. That's not the typical way a shutuf would act. He's not going to say, I'm the muchzik, you're the moitz mechaveroi. He's not makbid, leave the stones there until we're able to go somehow divide them up. Okay, so now back at the very end of the mission, said him, hoya echad mehen makir, miktas avonav, if one of them recognized his stones, noitlon, and v'oilis lo menachesh. Frey timorim, haloi matoid, what does the other guy say? You're echt, these tataka, as you said, they're painted, they're yours. Idik omar, and if he says, yes, these are yours, pshita, so the mission doesn't even need to tell that. It's obvious if both of them agree that these particular stones belong to Reuven and not to Shimon, so what's the chiddush? The Eloi Omar M, and if you're saying no, he disagreed, and he said, no, I'm not so sure. No. I also had green stones in mine, or yellow stones, or whatever the color is. So in Bezei Salam and Oitel, so why takas did the first one get first dibs at taking those stones? The other guy disagreed. El the Omale Eini Oideya, I takas don't know. Yeah, it could very well be. I'm not sure. First one says emphatically, Bari, it's definitely my stone. The other one says Shema, maybe yes, maybe not, I really don't know. Therefore, our mission is telling you, Bari v'Shema, Bari Adiv, and the one that says it's my stone, he gets it. So tomorrow, if that's the case, you're paskening in our Mishnah, Bari v'Shema, Bari Adiv, maybe you have to do after Rav Nachman, the Itma. You recall we had this virtually identical Gemara back in Perek HaShoyl. What does it say in the Mishnah? What's the halacha? Again, you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100. Shimon says, maybe I do, maybe I don't. I really have no idea, no recollection. So what happens? Bari, v'shema, bari yod. No. You're potter. Unless you can go and prove it, just of course you say emphatically, this is good. We do not say Bari Bishem Bari Yad. No, Ibn Bazoi, so why in our Mishnah? If the first person says, Bari, these are my stones. The other guy says, Shema. I don't know, it's a Shema. So Ibn Bazoi, why do you say automatically the first guy wins? That's a strong proof. Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Akash, and Rav Nachman, and Rav Yochanan. The Gemara gives the same terrors that we had last time. Tukir Amar Rav Nachman Koyin Sheyesh Esek Shvua Beinehem. Ah, there's an Esek Shvua. What does he mean? There's an Esek Shvua. Achanami Koyin Sheyesh Esek Shvua Beinehem. Hey Chidami Esek Shvua. Explain to me, what does that mean? Kiddurava Yamar Rav. Manali Biyadcha Laloi Oimer Ein Lecha Biyadi Elach Hamishim Vashar Eini Yodea. Ah, we have a situation Taka Metabori Metashema. However, the Shema wasn't just straight Shema, there was also a Hoido'a B'mitzas. We all know a Moedim B'mitzas is Chayiv HaShvua, right? Reuven says to Shimon, you owe me $100. Shimon says, $100? I owe you $50, but not the other 50, only 50. So, the 50 obviously has to hand over because he agreed. And the other 50 that he disagrees, he has to make a Shvua. Shvua Moedim B'mitzas, that I don't owe you anything more than the original 50. Ah. However, what happens if he doesn't know about the other 50? He says, you say I owe you 100. 50, you're right, you're for sure. The other 50, I don't remember. Maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe I already returned the money to you. Maybe I didn't. I just don't remember. So now he can make a shvua saying, I hereby solemnly swear that I don't remember. That's an irrelevant meaning, the shvua. So therefore, what's the halacha? Since he's not able to make a shvua, he's going to have to go and pay the full $100, the 50.
Well, why don't we switch the shvua to the other party so he's nishba v'notlen? I don't remember how we ended that Gemara previously.
The Gemara didn't ask that question. The Gemara assumed that's fine. That in the case of, we're not talking about shvua d'rabban, we're talking about shvua d'iraisa. The ush and nishba v'notlen are d'rabbans. The d'iraisa is, you have a moed v'miktis, he has to make the shvua. But I cannot make the shvua. I can't make the shvua, then you got to pay. I got one of two options. Option number one is to make a shvua, and then you would be patur from paying, unless the other guy brings edim or documents. Right. But your shvua patters you. If you can't go and patter you with a shvua, then you got to pay. You have no choice. So getting back to our situation over here, the person there was, let's say, 100 stones in play. He says, these 100 stones all belong to me. Don't you recognize them? They're all green, blue, and yellow, and that's the color pattern in my living room. He says, 50% of these stones, I agree with you, yeah? Those are clearly yours. The other 50, I'm not sure. Could be yes, could be not. I don't know. So what's the din? So that's a moedim mikta situation. How is he mishalim? He has to go and give him the other stones. So therefore, when you said in our Mishnah, I have a rai, bar v'shem bar yodim, no, it's talking about kigon sheyesh, esek shvua minayim. It's not talking about a situation of clear, bari, and shema. It's talking about such a Esek Shvua, where he says 50%, I agree. The other 50%, if he would say 50%, I disagree, he would go make a Shvua. But since he's not going and disagreeing, but rather saying, any idea, Tokshani idea, Mish Halein, Mish Yochali Shavu Yisham. That's why, that's the case of the Mishnah. So we said at the end of the Mishnah, in the case that we're talking about, the one that's Makir, Mixis Abonov, he takes them, and those are part of his Cheshbon. So, meaning, what does the other guy get? We got Reuven and Shimon. Reuven says, I recognize these. Shimon says, I'm not sure, I don't know. What is his cheshbon? What does he get? So Reuven gets the shleimos that he recognizes. And Shimon will get, as his part of this 50%, he'll get shvuris, he'll get broken ones. Al makim the omer ein yodea, because of the fact that he said, I don't know. Reyat fei. Unfortunately, there's a reyat, in other words, his position is weakened. Instead of getting full-fledged stones, he's going to get broken stones, which are not worth as much as full stones. Amli Abai, Abai says, Adarabba, Horeya Tvei, I can see the Svara Punkt Faket. Medahani Yoda, Tvei Lo Yoda, Su Lesle. Because of the fact that the first person says, these I recognize. What about all the other stones? Obviously, he does not recognize. So if that's the case, then if anything, his hand is weakened vis-a-vis the remaining stones. That 10% or 20% of the stones that he recognized, I recognize it. You see the color pattern. Yes, I don't know. So if anything, his hand is weakened by his partial concession over here, if you will. The idach kulu dehechnenu, and therefore maybe all the remaining ones. Now we don't mean all the remaining ones, obviously he still has 50-50. We just mean that among the shleimois, that maybe the other guy gets more shleimois now, because the first one said he only recognized these and not those. And therefore, in fact, what's going to happen is the Reuven that says, I recognize these 25 stones, he gets 25. Shimon, on the other hand, he's going to go and get 25 corresponding stones, also shleimos. And that's what we mean in our Mishnah. These 25 are oilati, his cheshbon of the 50%. And the other will take also 25 shleimos, which will be part of his 50%. So, Freytimara, Ihochi Maika Mahanile. What have we gained? The fact that the Mishnah says at the end, he can take those, sounds like he has some sort of preference or priority because he recognizes, and the other guy says, I don't know, so he can take those. If you're telling me that the other guy is going to go and get corresponding shleimos, so what do we have gained by the whole thing? You just split it down the middle, period. And the Gemara, it helps the Malbina Ravcha, what happens if some of the stones were wider than other stones, which would make sense, particularly as you go lower down, that they would be wider. Presumably that makes them also stronger or whatever. And those are the ones that he recognizes. Inami Tina de Mabda. Tina de Mabda means it's a type of cement which was, Rashi says, Ma'ubid u'meguvel yofa mechaveiroi. It was wider and nicer, more presentable and more beautiful. And this is the cement that they made out of that, the levenum. In other words, we have two types of levenum over here that have a priority over the others. Levenum are bricks. One of them happens to be wider, so therefore in quantity it's larger. Or Tina de Mabda means that in quality it's a nicer stone. Either that it looks nicer, it's more presentable, it's more the design, whatever it happens to be. So the point is that that's the benefit that the fellow who's makir, Miktus Havanav, gets. That he's going to be able to retrieve from this nebish, from this entire building collapse, he'll be able to go and get the wider stones if he recognizes them, and or those that are nicer, more beautiful stones because they were megubal yofas. Okay, so the Mishnah Baita. We start the Mishnah the same way, habayis v'aliyah. However, the fact pattern is totally different than the previous one. In which respect? Remember when we started the Mishnah, we started the perek at the very top. We said a bayis v'aliyah shel shnayim kigoyin shnei achim shechotu echanotol bayis v'echanotol aliyah. So we have two co-op owners, the upper guy and the lower guy. Here, however, says Rashi, we're talking about leigora socha shel shnayim. It doesn't start off a bayis v'aliyah shel shnayim. What bayis v'aliyah? Do'a besoicher koi kidom. Gemara, we'll see shortly. In the Gemara, we're talking about a landlord-tenant situation. Ah, the landlord lives down below, and he rented the upper apartment to someone else who is the tenant. And what happened? Zok the Mishnah, Bayis V'aliyah, Nifchasa Ho Aliyah. Nifchasa means that part of the upper floor had a hole in it. So not, we're not talking about a major collapse, we're talking about that part of the floor, of the second floor, fell in, and now the upper guy can see down into the lower guy, and he's not happy about it. How much fell through? We're going to have a machloikis shortly in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. But part of his floor fell through. So what happens now? Nifchasu aliyah. Ve'im bala bayis roitzim letakim. He says to the landlord, no, please bring in construction workers and let him, you know, cement it up and give me back my normal floor. And the bala bayis says, it's not worth it. It's an old house. It costs too much. Forget about it. So the bala, what choice does he have? Hari bala aliyah. So then the tenant goes, Yoyred v'dolamata. He's going to go and live downstairs. Chiyasak and Leis Aliyah until the landlord fixes up the second floor. I got to live somewhere. I'm paying rent. So he goes and lives downstairs. We don't address it in today's Gemara, but if you see, just skip to the bottom line of the Umud, the last five words, Boyerab Abba Bar Mamel, top of the Umud Aleph, Hishudor, Levadi Hudor Kimein Kara. Can he insist, I want to live downstairs without the landlord. Landlord, you go away on vacation. I'm staying here by myself. Going to live together. Roommates, exactly. It's a two-bedroom apartment. I'll take one bedroom, you take the other one. Anyway, that's going to be tomorrow. But what we see from today's Mishnah is, says the Tanakama, the upper tenant says, I can't live like this. He moves downstairs into the lower space of the first floor. And Taisha Takmir until he fixes it. When they are splitting up the cost of having to go and fix it, even though this belongs to the landlord, the guy up above is going to have to also contribute towards some of the reconstruction. Why is that? Says Rashi, Mefarish B'Gemara Mirchi. We'll see that in tomorrow's Gemara. Have they split up the course? So now we have a Tikra and a Ma'aziva. We'll say it's a Tikra. Tikra, depending on where you live, whether you have to be in the upper part or the lower part, Tikra is basically the ceiling. So if you're down below, the ceiling means the upper part of your residence. If you're the guy on the second floor, that's the bottom, that's your floor. So if you look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah Maziva, the narrow line, last narrow line, Maziva, Tiach Shaltit Shanoistin ala Tikra Shekoyin Estrash. The Doimalib and Mikra Biazi Shalayim, the Sefer Ezra, will be more Mafarish Batai. Ah, so the Tiach Shaltit means that after the owner of the building, the landlord, he put up the Tikra down below, that it's down below vis-a-vis the second floor, it's up above vis-a-vis the first floor, to solidify it and probably to remove any holes or whatever, then they smeared it with a layer of cement on top of it. So all the beams and all the rest are part of the infrastructure for the downstairs apartment. For the floor on top, he added a layer of cement or tar or pitch or whatever on top of it to really make it strong. Ah, so says our Mishnah, the tachtoin, the landlord, he's nice enough to take care of, if there's a hole as a result of a hole in a beam or a plank or whatever, he's got to fix that. If there's a problem with the maziva, with the shmirachs, that tar or pitch or cement, then that's the top guy, he has to pay for that. Okay, getting back to the beginning of the Mishnah, we said nifchasa. We said there's a machlokes Rav and Shmuel. How much was it nifchasa? Part of the upper floor fell in. But how much? Machlokes. Nifchasa. Kama Rav Amar Beruba. Roiv of it fell in. And therefore the tenant says, I can't live like that. I'm going to move downstairs unless you fix it. Fix it. Shmuel Amar Be'arba. Even four tvachim. Small little about tvachim. Abisala. That's already enough. He can say, you got to fix it. You don't want to fix it? I'm going down. Why does Rab disagree with Shmuel? Rab Amar Beruba Barbo Loi Odom Dor Chetzi Lamata VeChetzi Lamata. A person can live partially upstairs and partially downstairs. Today they call that a duplex. People pay more money for that. Years gone by, people didn't think that was a mal. It's always good to go and live on the same floor. So what does he mean? Odom Dor Chetzi Lamata VeChetzi Lamata. Since we now have this major hole in the floor, major. It's only 4x4 tvach. True, but nevertheless, what could he have put there? An armoire, he could have put there a cabinet, he could have put there some other storage bin of some sort. So then, he's going to have that down below on the first floor. He'll continue living. Again, this is Rav speaking. Rav says you only have the right to move downstairs totally if right. If it's only 4x4, then loy, then you don't have the right to go and move downstairs, but rather, you'll go and occupy only 4x4 downstairs. Your armoire, your cabinet, your storage bin, that you'll leave downstairs with the first guy, and you'll continue to live upstairs, because people can do that. No, even though it's a small little space, I don't want to have my cabinet downstairs. I don't want my armoire to be down there. Every time I want to take out a shirt, I have to go downstairs and upstairs. Am I crazy? As soon as it's 4x4, I'm moving down. Can you explain? When the tenant originally rented that upper apartment from the landlord down below, what was the writing in the contract? I'm dafka going and taking this attic or this second floor. This floor no longer exists in its original pristine form that it was originally. So the landlord can say, as long as it was around, you were able to rent it. Now that it went poof, sorry, lease is over, go buy, get it. Ella di omle aliyastam. If he didn't say specifically this apartment, he said, I want a one-bedroom apartment over here, 1,200 square feet,
second
or whatever.
Story. It's an aliyah.
A second story, exactly. So therefore, loigale achriti. If the landlord has other apartments on the second floor, or he has several buildings, so let him go and give him another aliyah. It has to be dafka this aliyah. So why does he go downstairs? Let him give him another aliyah, since he said a second, not this second floor, a second floor. Therefore, amarav olay tzricha di amalei aliyah zu, shani maskir lecha, kisalik, kisalka, salik bado, b'chinochis chavis bado. Rabbi says that you write in the contract, kirochel bitchatan. And he says, this second floor that I'm renting to you, as long as it's intact, you stay up there. Kisalka, Solik Bahado. Chinoches Noches Chabes Bahado. In other words, you're going to go and follow this building. If it remains intact, you stay upstairs. If it falls in, you go down together with the building. Just like the building went down, you're going to go down to the second floor. Wait, tomorrow you might remember. If that's what they contracted initially, that's what he told them, that if it's going to be a hole and you can no longer live upstairs either because it's Beroif or Barba, you're coming down. So what's the Chiddush?
Coming down where?
To share. Either to share or to be the only guy. That's going to be Rabab or Bamam. That's for tomorrow. But if that's what it says in the contract, that if your part of it collapses, you're coming down. No, so he's coming down. So what's the Chiddush? He could, when you say Aliyah Zu, obviously he's pointing to something. So he's pointing to this Aliyah. This second floor, which is on top of this first floor, that's what I'm renting to you. What did he have to add that Sha'al Gabi Bayezeh? The second floor is not Oisius Porches Ba'avir, it's not floating. Obviously it's on top of the first floor. So why did he add these additional words? The Shibit Bayis Laliyah. It's as if he's being Meshabed, as if he's saying that the bottom apartment is Meshubad. There's a lien on it, an encumbrance on it, to hold up your second floor. And if it doesn't do a good job in holding it up because it's a hole, then you come on down. Zogti Mara. V'chihodi Omer Robin Barab Ad Omer Yitzchak. We had a similar parallel type of situation. Ma'asim Yechashem Olachaveirai. Dalis. A person sold him a talis. Talis is typically a vine from a vineyard where you typically have clusters of grapes growing. As you know, if you don't prop up the vine, they're going to be on the floor and all the grapes are going to get root. So typically you put in, for instance, poles.
A trellis.
Very good. The trellis that they used over here was a parsik. A parsik, even today in Eretz Yisrael, they have a farsikim, which I believe are peaches. And therefore, there was a peach tree that was holding up these vines, the trellis, for the clusters of grapes. Oh, so he said to him, Dalis shall gabi parsik zani moichalacha. Now the question is, why do you have to go and talk about the parsik? You mean he saw it. Dalis, did he see this dalis that's standing over there, that's stretching over there? He didn't have to say, gabi parsik zani. So what happens if in that kind of parsik? What happens if that peach tree fell down or was uprooted or whatever? You're going to have to go and shtel tzu, either a new peach tree or a new trellis or something else to go and hold the thing up. In other words, what he meant to say is, by adding these fancy schmancy words, dal gabi parsik zeh, he could have simply said, delis ani moichalucha, I'm selling to you this vine. Why do you have to talk about the parsik zeh? That means because he was mishab in the parsik for the vine. Same thing over here, by saying Ali al Gabi Bayezu, he is making a shibut, an encumbrance on the bottom bayez to hold up the Aliyah. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai Zagimek. For those of you on Zoom, tomorrow we start approximately at 7:45. Have a great day. Hatzlah.